You want it, you got it. Lindsay Ness, Ashley Bell, Mrs. Moxie, and a cast of thousands. It's time to spill the beans.
Good morning, everybody. It's April 24th, 9 a.m. with Spill the Beans. My name is Mox. You might also know me as Mrs. Moxie, and I have a group of gal pals here today for our second helping of a caffeinated beverage chit-chat gossip talk. Pop culture, I should say. So, what's going on, Linz? Ash?
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are we all doing?
I was telling you today. Long week.
Long week. We're going to go back to bed after this?
We might.
Okay, good. And Linz?
Same. We had a total of 7 days in April that we did not have anything going on at the Grand.
Ooh.
And April's not over yet, so I have a couple more days to push through. But that's good. Being busy is good.
Exactly. And, you know, before we get too far into this, we actually have a special guest. This is our first guest of many. She's also my bestie. We have Jessica McWilliams here. Hi, Jess.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
You're so calm in the morning.
Don't worry. I'm going to drink this coffee and I'll slowly ramp up.
So right.
I'm getting there.
There we go. Yes, Jess came down from Bloomington to be with us this morning to talk about all things kind of that dystopian. What's the other word I'm trying to look for?
Post-apocalyptic. Yeah, it was kind of a bummer because we're like, oh, Earth Day. Oh, that kind of makes us think about dystopia movies.
Right.
That's not a great connection, but.
Exactly. But you know what? It's kind of fun because then it's like, okay, instead of talking about recycling and everything, we can talk about why it's important because it's going to be a dystopian world in like this just trash hole of a planet. So,
and we have lots of movies to discuss and books and things to provide insight as to why we need to take care of our planet.
Exactly. You know, before we get too far, I want to talk to the guest again. Jess, what made you want to come on the show?
Well, the subject matter.
Yeah,
is definitely in my wheelhouse. Anybody who knows me after a glass of wine, this is basically where we go pretty much immediately. So I suppose that also you,
me.
Yeah, I mean I can't say no to you. So
well, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
ride or die.
Yep.
Yep. You know, we were talking about this like behind the scenes, not on air, but Lindsay has been reading the new Hunger Games book along with soon as she started talking about it, I was talking to Jess about it and Jess talked about it, how she couldn't put it down. And me and Ashley are a little busy, so we just watch movies.
I read some books.
Yeah.
I read some books.
Yeah, exactly. But I think, you know, it's kind of a good balance. We're going to have you two talking about the current stuff that's going on. We can talk about what we've read and the movies that we've seen and kind of interject with all that. So happy Earth Week, I guess, because it was on the 22nd. Earth Day was. So did you guys do anything for Earth Day?
No, I saw that there was a lot of cool stuff going on around town, and then it kind of came and went without my noticing.
It was a Tuesday. It was random Tuesday. Yeah,
and
I get
Tuesday
it.
Tuesday is like my clean the house day.
Oh, there you go. Yep, I get that. So where do you want to jump in with this pop culture like moment? Do you want us to go right into the books or where do you want to start, Linz?
I don't know. I was going to see before we get into like the super dark, sad, depressy stuff, like is what everybody is currently consuming, reading, even if it is not post-apocalyptic. So that way we can get some.
Okay.
Anybody?
Yes. I'm raising my hand in the studio.
Yes, Ashley.
She has the talking stick.
I don't know if you all are familiar with Emily Henry, the contemporary romance novelist. She just released a new book called A Great Big Beautiful Life on Tuesday, actually.
Oh, very cool.
And I started reading it last night, and she's just a really, really good author, has amazing writing.
You said romance, right?
Yep.
Contemporary romance. Yeah, when you say romance, do you mean like romance or
like
you
is
like
Fabio on the
romance?
Cover?
Okay, so not Fabio, but not like dark fantasy,
okay.
Spicy peppers.
Yeah.
So I would say it's a good middle of the road. But it's all about like the real people doing real life
it's
stuff.
Like a jalapeno.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like a jalapeno.
Sometimes it could be like a couple of jalapenos, depending. I'm only 50 pages into this one, so check back in 2 weeks, and I'll give you guys the pepper scale.
I really like this.
From now on, can we just like rate the books with jalapenos and like...
For how spicy they are?
Yeah. Like, can we... Yep. I give it 2 jalapenos.
And that's how, like this one.
Ooh, that's a ghost pepper.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a big ghost pepper. I love that. I think that's hilarious. So
I'll let you guys know in 2 weeks. Check back in.
Yeah. Currently, I'm not reading anything, but like the one that I keep trying to get through, I'm just so busy. I don't have time to sit. And if I do sit, it's like I'm messaging you. I'm like, hey, let's get this script done. Let's do this. Oh, by the way, we have a Christmas special to write. Like, it's just... My brain can't stop. I need to go on vacation to read books. The last time I went on vacation, I read like 3 books in a week. So I need a vacation. But the one that I'm trying to read, and it's not apocalyptic, it's done by Holly Days is her name. She's a drag queen out of the UK, and she wrote a book. Actually, she wrote a musical first. Now she wrote a book, and it's called Murders in the Dressing Room. So it's about a drag queen who solves murders.
Oh, amazing.
I know, like right? So that's kind of the one that I've been trying to get into just because we're going to talk about it. I did try to read the book that you two are going to talk about probably throughout this entire show, the new Hunger Games book. I tried to, but it's like I want to get into it, but my brain just couldn't let me like.
Oh, my gosh. In my life, I reference that book like once a day right now.
Okay.
Maybe it's at the hospital auxiliary book fair is at the mm-hmm. hockey arena right now, and I have not gone yet.
Oh, yeah.
Because if I go too early, I end up with way too many books on my to like add to my to-be-read shelf.
Yep.
But maybe you'll get
how
lucky.
Many are on your shelf?
Between 7 and 400. Somewhere in there. I have
somewhere in the middle there.
I have lots of books, and a lot of them still need to be read.
That's awesome. Really? What are you reading right now, Jess?
I'm a big Stephen King fan, which I know is like...
No, you're good.
Not cool to say anymore, but whatever. I like
it. We don't judge. That's great.
Thank you.
Reading is reading.
Thank you. I need the reassurance. I've been trying to finish his book Fairy Tale, which is like different than his other books. Have either anybody know?
On my shelf.
Yeah, it's it was really good the first half, and I feel like it's a totally different book the second half. So I've picked it up and put it down like 6 times.
Is it spooky scary?
It's not spooky scary the way Stephen King normally is. This is, like, very different. It's kind of like a young adult, like, fantasy.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. I just got a dog last year, and there's a dog in the book, and I'm really scared the dog's going to die.
You gotta
which
look
is
it
why
up.
I can't finish
Google
it.
Google it.
There yeah. is a website, everyone, called DoesTheDogDie.com.
Okay.
And you can look up books... movies, okay. other media.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I do it every time. There's
because didn't you do that with the movie Flow? You wanted to know if the cat died?
No, I didn't look it up. I just can't.
You
look
looked
up
it up. Okay.
Because I wasn't going to watch it. Ashley sent the disclaimer saying, like, I have concerns about this movie. And so I looked it up to make sure everybody makes it out okay in order to even be willing to watch
Minus
it.
The wombat. We found out the wombat.
The spoiler alert.
Chupacabra, yeah. The chupacabra.
Capybara?
Capybara. That's what it was. That's what it was. I can't remember. It's morning. I need more coffee.
Tomato.
No. They don't specify. There's no words.
It was an animal. Didn't make it. Unfortunately. It was sad.
Oh,
and
Lord.
That's why I will not watch Flo.
Right. But that's good to know. Now you can look that up.
That'll be bookmarked.
That will be bookmarked, and you will be going to check that out to make sure the dog makes it. Because you and Jordy, you will be a mess.
He's so naughty, and I love him so much. He's the best.
Your relationship with your dog is hilarious because it's like, just love me. And then you're like, get off me.
Yeah. It's fraught, but worth it. For sure.
It's hilarious.
Thank you.
All right. So let's chat about what's going on and how do we take care of our planet? And let's plunge into this dystopian, straight out of fiction moment.
Okay. Well, if we want to jump right into my thoughts and opinions, don't mind if I do.
That's my favorite part of the show.
I know, right? When Lindsay gets on a roll. I know, right?
So... What, 10, 12 years ago, I read the Hunger Games trilogy, and I loved it. I have some beef with how Mockingjay ended, and I feel like there was some, not the events that took place, the writing. I do not like, spoiler alert for anybody, I do not like that I spent books and books and books, pages and pages and pages to get to, and then I became unconscious, and then I woke up, and then the entire scene that we have been leading to is just told. Instead of shown. It was not the end of Mockingjay felt to me like you could feel when she sold the rights to the movies.
Really?
And I wholeheartedly liked where it landed. I wanted a lot of that to be done in scene. Okay. I did not like that she was like, oh, I just got knocked out and now I'm waking up and Haymitch is just telling me in paragraph form what happened.
Hmm.
Believable. It's not that it's not believable.
Okay. Okay.
It's that I wanted,
you wanted
to
more.
See it. I wanted to feel it. I wanted to be there when the rebels took over the palace.
Okay.
Not a deal breaker.
That's
not
where I wanted to go. I wanted to ask, like, which part are we talking about? You didn't like the part where they were in the field and then she had a kid, that kind of moment? Or was it like the
The
whole action leaving the whole action
thing? Everything that happened afterwards, fine. Like, yes. I would have been totally cool with that book being 100 pages longer in order to have put a lot of that in scene. You know, you listen to Snow
actually sit over talk here like, about, what are we talking about?
And if you have not read this, maybe go read or watch and then revisit the episode, because these books are super old and I kind of, and the movies are also old, so you should have watched this by now, and if you haven't, then I'm spoiling it for you.
Wait a second. Maybe you guys can tag team. But for our listeners who maybe have not read Hunger Games, can you give a quick synopsis of what the movies, the books are about?
Fire away, guest host.
Oh, okay.
So it's about this fairy that lives in a woods. I'm just kidding.
No, that's the other books.
Yeah, that's the Dark Three spicy pepper.
We open in the Appalachian Mountains an indeterminate amount of time in the future. I got to get closer to the mic, apparently, so you can all hear me.
There we go.
It's a dystopian fiction novel. It's young adult, so it's a pretty easy read. It's about, like, a future North America. America's gone. The country's called Panem. There are 13...
Stupid name, by the way.
There's a reason for it.
Yeah.
I know there is.
We could have an entire
symbolism.
Episode of The Hunger Games.
We could. There's 13 districts, which are like 13 colonies, and they serve the capital. It's like set up a lot like Rome. So each one of the districts sends a child between the ages of 12 and 18 to the arena, to the Hunger Games, and then the kids fight to the death. So that's pretty much what it's about, is about that. And a lot of the themes are like overconsumption. It talks a lot about like the dirty side of capitalism.
Yeah.
And that kind of thing. You follow like along Katniss Everdeen.
Income inequality.
Lack of access to healthcare and food and resources.
And how the capital gets whatever they want.
Yeah. It's familiar. A pretty like pointed message, honestly, because it's written for teenagers. Yeah.
Right. It's interesting because, like, okay, not only about the story, but, like, do you know the backstory of The Hunger Games? Like, how she came up with this idea?
Yeah.
It was actually kind of a cool story from what I remember of it. And maybe, Jess, you can remind me what you remember. But I remember her talking about how she was trying to find something on TV. And she was flipping through channels. And she was going between, like, the reality shows, like, the Kardashians, like, and all these things. And, like, the games and kind of, like, Survivor and stuff. And then there was war.
Yeah, it was the Iraq War that was playing. Yes. So she was flipping back and forth between, like, some Bravo TV show and the Iraq War coverage.
Yep.
And her book idea kind of spawned from there.
And I would challenge, like, I did read that a little bit, but I don't know that I believe wholeheartedly that she got that just from that experience.
Yeah,
being that
there's definitely
Battle
other,
Royale
yep.
is
yeah.
very, very much, the like, this seems like a westernized retelling of yep. that story. Which
yeah.
is, if you ever went to First Avenue in, like, the early 2000s, they would play clips of Battle Royale set to a Pink Floyd song, like, before the band came out. And
oh,
that was,
weird.
Yeah, it was super weird. But it was great, and when I was in my 20s, it made more sense to me.
Yeah.
I think.
Wow. Yeah, it's an interesting book series, and it's interesting to me how many have spawned off in that same genre.
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. like the Hunger Games. Like, we were talking about Divergent. You're not a fan of Divergent.
No.
No. Are you?
I read all three books. Maybe if I had read them first, there's a chance that I would have liked them more. Same with like the Maze Runner books.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've never seen that one. That is one that I
haven't. Because I did the Hunger Games first, everything after that felt like a ripoff or felt mm-hmm. like a knockoff yeah. or felt... I did think that the Hunger Games aged and grew with the reader better than yes. the other ones did. So like, they're all very dark. They're obviously violent. But especially like this newest one... She seems to really take into consideration that the folks that were reading the first Hunger Games when they were, say, 15, 16, 17 are now, you know, in their late 20s, early 30s, if not older. Yeah. And the book reflects that in writing, storytelling, content.
Yeah. Especially with her, like, interspersing that poem towards yeah. the end. That felt like maybe that would be geared closer towards, like, older.
So we keep talking about her. I want to... give the listeners, I almost said readers, the listeners backstory. Who is she that you're talking about?
Suzanne Collins.
Yeah. Okay, so you're talking about the author. You're not talking about a character.
Yeah.
That's what I want to make sure. Yep. Okay.
And so that was my beef, I guess, with the way that Mockingjay ended. And I just rewatched the movies, and it had the same effect where I was explaining it to the individual that I was watching it with, and I was like, you'll see. You'll know exactly where it's at, that in the book I did not like it, and in the movie they filmed it exactly the way that it was written. I will give them that. And then you listen to Snow talk about how everybody turned against him, and that was really the final act that solidified the rebels taking over, and you see none of it. It's all just a few sentences and a few paragraphs that are explained when you've worked so hard and you've gotten so excited and you've lost all these characters along the way. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, by the way, we won. Just in case yeah. you're wondering. Hi.
I will say, like, okay, so because I did watch the movies, I have not read the books, but watching the movies, you end up loathing and hating President Snow from Pan Am so much, to the point where, like, at the end, I felt kind of that situation. I'm just like, really? Like, after all the hate, like, that's all I get.
I appreciated what they did.
I did too. But at the same time, I'm just like, I wanted to see him burn as hard as...
Oh. I think his ending was, like, perfect.
You do?
I actually really liked it.
I did too.
I think it was really important for Katniss and for the reader to understand that Coin and Snow are basically the same person. At the end of the
valid,
day.
Valid, yeah. Yep.
When you solidify power like that into one person,
yep.
they end up, because she starts preaching, let's just do one more Hunger Games with the Capital Children.
Yeah.
Which, Snow's on his way out anyway. He's super sick, and he's been poisoning himself forever and ever, and so he's about to die. So she's essentially like, I can create this exact scenario for another group of people to have to fight against, or I can end it right now.
Yep.
And she kind of just solidified that she's not a very complex character.
No, she's not.
So just pretty much like good and moral, and she's just the center.
Mm-hmm.
And she does exactly what you would expect her to do.
Very true. I guess I can see that. Yeah. I don't know. I hated Snow so much that I wanted more of a bang.
You should read the Snow prequel.
Okay. And come back to me. I did see that movie. I hated the movie.
The movie has the Harry Potter problem, which yes. is what I think, where it's basically like, we're going to assume that you all read this book, so we're going to leave out so much critical information, yep. and we're just going to assume that you can make the jump from A to B. The book was so much better, you know, as any book reader always says, but Harry Potter had the same thing. There's entire sections of Harry Potter that are... you know, hundreds of pages long, and yeah. then they're like, oh, by the way, here's one sentence throwaway to
yeah,
mention.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to have an internal monologue on camera.
I
feel like, without true. Doing, like, constant voiceover, which still isn't the same. So I would agree with that assessment.
Yeah, it was... First of all, I think we talked about this on the last episode, because we were talking about Snow White, the movie that just came out with Rachel Ziegler.
Yep.
I'm just not a fan of her, and the fact that she's in the prequel, I was just like...
I thought she was actually probably one of the better parts of the movie.
Yeah, and I didn't think that the movie itself wasn't bad.
Yeah.
It was poorly
Viola
written.
Davis.
Yeah.
Viola Davis was on a whole another level.
Yeah, I think all the actors were good.
She was great.
Yeah.
Like, see, and I didn't care for
it's
Rachel.
It's not their fault that the movie wasn't the best.
The adaptation was just not...
And there was too much singing. And I love a musical.
See, and that's exactly how I felt. I'm like,
love a musical,
The Hunger Games is not about a musical.
Yeah, and there wasn't even choreography with the music, so it's just like, come on, I need some dancing
music
then.
Right,
like if we're gonna do a musical, let's go to Mama.
Right,
you gotta pick.
Yeah, pick a lane.
And this is why books are better than the movies in all cases.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah, Children of Men is not that case. That's on my list here. But so, which one was your favorite book of the entire of all five?
I don't know. Sunrise on the Reaping is like definitely up there, but I think I'm going to go with what everyone else says and it's Catching Fire. I liked that one the best.
See, and now since I just finished Sunrise on the Reaping, that is by far my favorite one, but it's so tightly interconnected to Catching Fire that
they're basically the same book.
And they are so, the one pays, reading Sunrise on the Reaping has so much payoff for Catching Fire. I feel like it didn't feel forced.
No.
It felt very, usually I'm like, oh, really? You're just going to make, nope. I thought that those two books just tied together beautifully. Yep. And it made me very happy every single time there was another little, well, I shouldn't, maybe it didn't make me happy every time.
Usually it's for a horrible reason that there's an Easter egg, but yeah.
But it was really well done. I loved it.
Yeah. Well, and we can sit here and talk about, like, Hunger Games we could talk about all day long, if not in multiple episodes. But we have a list of other movies and books and everything. And I want to get to one that I really want to talk about. Well, there's two that I really want to talk about. Because we're talking about this whole dystopian kind of world that we're talking about. Hunger Games was definitely, like, the most current pop culture book phenomenon, I would say, as far as dystopian. I mean, Divergent was there. There was a few others. But, like, when you think of movies that makes you really think about the planet and the world and everything, the first two that we have on our list, we have Fern Gully.
Yeah.
And we have WALL-E. Both of those movies. Okay, does everybody know those movies?
Is that Fern Gully just basically Avatar?
Yes, and Dances with Wolves.
Okay, I've seen Dances with Wolves and Avatar. So yeah, sure, I've seen Fern Gully. I saw it a long time ago when I was
I'm with Jess on this one. I saw it a long time ago.
I know
ago.
The basic story. It's like, hey, don't knock the forest down. And
right.
Also, like, the colonizer becomes a part of the colonized and falls in love.
Super
duper the same.
There's
movie.
A wise woman that, or a wise creature that comes down. Yeah.
Oh, and then, so it's Pocahontas too.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
Yep. Okay.
All right, I'm in.
Okay. So
such a unique story.
So number one. Because are you pretty, like, caught up with Fern Gully?
Love Fern Gully.
Okay.
Have watched it at least once a year since I've been, like, 8.
Same. Okay. So, number one, the music and the soundtrack is just beautiful.
Yeah. And Tone Loc does the one, Tone Loc sings in it.
Yes. Okay. But I will say the best villain was voiced by Tim Curry. Like, him as Braxis in that movie.
Hexus.
Thank you. Braxis is what I had in my head. Hexus.
Yep.
So good. And it made you want to hate him so bad. And his singing and his songs were like...
And so much of his, like, they turned his, like, smoke and oily body performance into, like...
Choreograph.
It was amazing. And it's, like... Mm-hmm. It's, I don't even know how to explain it. It's like that, like cabaret style music that he does. It's really great.
Yep.
And Robin Williams voices the bat.
Which you can't go wrong with Robin Williams. No. R.I.P.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. Yes. Fern Gully was amazing. I loved it because it basically teaches you can't take down the forests without ramifications.
And it was filmed and written probably during that Amazon rainforest time frame when that was really all the rage for what we should be protecting. You know, we bounced around from thing to thing that's important to us instead of just picking all of it. But
I will say I also love a good fairy story.
Yeah.
Yep. I just love that.
I might have to watch this with my son.
You should.
Maybe this will be movie night this weekend.
There you go.
He's 9, so he's like the perfect age.
Yeah. The batty wrap is just the highlight of my
life.
So
good.
Perfect. Okay. That's what we're doing this weekend.
I have that on many, many road trip playlists.
Yep. It's so good. Let's go down to the next one. So this one makes me think about, like, the trash and recycling, like, part of Earth Day and things that are happening and what you get so passionate that you like freeze.
I don't
freeze.
Know like what I can say on this radio station.
You can't swear.
But you keep saying, no, yeah, I wasn't, all right, I'll do my best. You keep saying recycling, and I have feelings about recycling. Mm. Do we all have the same feelings about recycling?
How it's not real?
It's fake. Recycling is fake.
It's we should not be advocating that.
No, you should definitely still do it, right? It's plastic. But like reusing is the first part of the reduce, reuse, recycle. Okay, thank you. I just had to say that.
Well, and I think reduce is like kind of goes into the overconsumption piece of WALL-E.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Like that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Like we need to stop buying new things all the time.
And the amount of plastics that are found in like all human bodies. Yeah. Now, just like.
It's interesting because, okay, so backstory. I host game night over at Imminent Brewing on the last Friday of every month. And tomorrow is our Go Green one. And I actually created a game. And a lot of the questions are about like recycling, reusing, like how much plastic is in our system, in our oceans and stuff like that. And it's when I was doing the research to make this game, I was like, I knew it was bad, but I didn't know how bad it was until I did like this research. And I was like,
did you look up about that like trash island?
Yes.
That's out there in the ocean.
Yes.
Every once in a while it pops into my head. I'm like, oh, that's awful. I don't.
Yeah.
Yikes.
And, you know, going back to what Ashley said is our consumption as society, especially in the United States, I think we're one of the most wasteful countries out there because we want things that are instantly gratification. We want it now. We want it quick.
And we want it new.
And we want it cheap. So one of my favorite, we're going to go down a whole tangent real quick. So backstory is I went to school for fashion design.
Okay. Slay.
And there's a fashion designer that I follow. Kelly Dempsey is her last name. Dempsey, I think is her name. Anyway, she was on Project Runway. And she talks about how much of our material that is wasted every day. Like our material, like our fabric, everything. We just throw it away. We don't think about the reuse of it. We don't think about the ramifications of taking these like polyester, biodegradable fabrics, and we just throw it in the trash. Like it's millions and millions of tons of fabric that is thrown away daily. It's insane. Going back to, let's get back on the bandwagon of WALL-E. WALL-E's the same concept. You think about the trash that, if you haven't seen WALL-E, Ashley, would you give the backstory of WALL-E?
I mean, it's basically just like about a robot that's collecting trash. That's what's left on Earth because nobody's on Earth anymore.
Yep.
WALL-E, the robot, is collecting trash. And that's his wake up, collect trash day to day.
Yep.
There's a lot of trash, spoiler alert. and then another robot comes
Evie.
Yep, Evie comes down to Earth to see if it's habitable. She like goes around and like looks for habitable planets. And then it's a story about how she gets like taken by the spaceship, or like she goes on a spaceship.
Right?
It's been a while since I've seen WALL-E.
Is that correct?
And then
because I'm like I don't remember. All I remember is WALL-E and Evie, and
WALL-E
then the
finds
people were
like
overweight, and they were on scooters. That's all I remember. That's all I remember.
That was always my takeaway too. Is like we're trashing the planet, and our plan is basically like ride around in little chairs and stare at screens all day long.
Yes,
and it's we're not
terrifying.
Far from it.
I know. That's what I. You know, I don't want to sound like that person because I'm not that much older, but I'm always like kids these days. Yeah. Their phones and their screens.
Right.
I am shocked by how much more screen usage is by the younger folks.
Yeah.
Like my kids, they have Snapchat. You can scold me later for being a parent that lets my kid have Snapchat. But they, when I see, they're like, put their phone in a way that I can see it. Just like so many. It's like overwhelming to me. I'm just like, why would you want people to have access to you like that all the time?
No, it's worse.
TikTok, and I'm bad. I'm definitely.
Oh, we've talked about doom scrolling.
I should be off of my phone way more than I am. But like, it's just so different because that's like the world that they grew up in. And like, that's what is their normal. And I'm not saying lazy, not lazy. I'm not like trying to sound judgy. But it's just shocking to me that much time, effort, and energy can be put into communication through a screen mm-hmm. and receiving yeah. all of your information through a screen.
And how mm-hmm. that drives their social lives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, well,
oh, sorry. Oh, nope. Nope, you go.
Well, I was just going to say, too, like, you made a good point, Lindsay, about how that's how they consume all of their information. Going back to some of this dystopia, post-apocalyptic themes, I feel like that's a lot of themes that are in these pieces of media, too, is that people are getting false information or not getting the information that they need from folks that are in charge. And I feel like that also kind of shows up in our everyday life with devices and
yeah, and then when we have like
talking about propaganda,
yeah, but that's what I like. Right, our constitution, right? We're like free speech, which super duper
love that.
But we also don't have like when we started writing laws, rules, taking freedom of speech into consideration, we had no idea how far we were going to progress, what kind mm-hmm. of information was going to be accessible, how much. So that's like. A lot of post-apocalyptic, you know, entertainment is kind of centered around that. Yeah, propaganda. Like, mm-hmm. at what point do we try to legislate it, rein it in? Do you have the right to sway public mm-hmm. information with things that are blatantly untrue? Because nobody was thinking about these things. You know, AI getting involved. It's just like a really crazy thing to try to rein in and legislate when it's happening at just like this crazy pace.
Okay, not to bring it back to Hunger Games, but spoiler alert for anybody listening.
She gets like super close. She's like, I got
Since you brought up AI, did you catch the little blurb in Sunrise on the Reaping where even in Panem, in a post-apocalyptic world, they've outlawed AI in the Capitol?
I don't know that I caught
there.
That
it's like a
blurb.
Small blurb. I had to read it like three times. I was like, so even these people got rid of it.
Well,
these people send kids to an arena
to fight to the death,
and they got rid of AI. I don't know. I mean,
I had a long conversation with my sister about that yesterday, and how we have lots of movies that were not meant to be documentaries warning us about the dangers of AI.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
And there's all sorts of really great things that AI can probably mm-hmm.
yeah.
do.
Mm-hmm.
Computing, absolutely. Probably going to be the link to get us to space.
I think you're also calling it the wrong name. Isn't it A1 according to the Board of Education?
This steak A1 sauce is going to get us to space.
Sorry. I just had to go there.
I don't know about that.
They did a commercial right after that.
Oh, please tell me
it was amazing.
They won the steak sauce?
Yeah, the okay.
So the Secretary of Education,
Linda McMahon,
who used to be the Secretary of the WWE.
Yep.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I love that.
Nothing weird about that.
Great choice.
She kept calling AI
A1.
Mm. We have to have more A1 in our classrooms. Mm. So A1 which is true, jumped on it.
But I don't think she meant it that way.
Yeah, those chicken nuggets at school are real bland.
They're dry.
Yeah.
Also, if you make a good steak, you don't need A1 sauce.
Facts. You are not wrong on that, Ash.
Yikes.
See, Idiocracy is on our list here. I don't know if anybody
scared
has
scared to get to that one.
Yeah.
No.
What? You should watch Idiocracy. Everyone should watch Idiocracy. Turn off the radio. Go put the movie
after
on.
This show's
in
over.
22
after
minutes. This show's
over. Yeah.
Yeah. So who's in that one?
It's Luke Wilson, isn't it?
Yeah, and then I can't remember the names. President Camacho.
Yeah, that's Terry Crews.
Yep.
And Maya Rudolph is.
I think
the
we have
woman.
Homework, Ashley.
I love Maya Rudolph.
Yeah.
The problem with watching it now, though, is you're going to be like, oh, this is not funny anymore.
Yeah, that's from, like, I think it was made, like, 15, 20 years ago, and it was like, ha-ha, how funny is this?
I'm looking it up as we read it. Idiocracy.
It was.
You want to talk about a movie that's a documentary.
It was not supposed to be. Yeah.
It was 100% that one.
Do you want me to read this,
yeah,
this
read the
synopsis out loud?
We'll
okay.
Just...
In 2005, average in every way private Joe Bowlers is selected to take part in a secret military experiment to put him in hibernation for a year along with a woman named Rita. The slumbering duo is forgotten when the base they are stored on is closed down and are left in stasis until 2505. When they finally wake up, they discover the average intelligence of humans has decreased so much that Joe is now the smartest man in the world.
Oh, Jesus.
They have, like, every piece of legislation is like sponsored by like Mountain Dew. And
yeah, it's like the Secretary of State keeps saying stuff, and then at the end he's always like sponsored by Carl's Jr.
Yes.
Like, why do you keep saying that? Because they pay me every time I do. Like,
wow. Which is awesome.
So this weekend everybody has homework, I guess.
Yep.
You're watching Fern Gully. We're watching, what did we just
Idiocracy.
Call it? Idiocracy.
Mm-hmm. The Brando part is very, it ties into Earth Day.
Okay.
Yeah, that movie was not, I used to think it was funny.
Yeah, it's not funny anymore.
You don't find it very funny anymore.
I used to quote it, and now my dad will call me and be like, hey, and he'll like give me a quote from the movie. I'm like, not today, Dad.
No,
you could right. be playing.
I can't do that right now.
Called like Is It Now or Is It From That Movie.
Yeah.
I think
we could play it next or our next show, the beginning.
We can yes.
Yeah,
yes.
We'll play it.
We'll play it. I'll make it. Okay. Tune in for Was It in the News or Was It in Idiocracy?
Oh my God.
Okay, we can not get rich in trouble by talking about this.
Right. Okay. So moving forward, there's so many other like movies that are on this list. One that I also really want to talk about is The Fifth Element. Don't roll your eyes at me.
I love The Fifth Element.
It's one of my favorites. Why'd you roll your eyes?
Chris Tucker's character is
I don't
so
get The Fifth
fun.
Element. I don't understand it. I've seen it like 17 times, okay?
Okay,
I don't
first
get
of all,
it.
It's just beautiful.
It's love. It's the love. Answer is it's love.
Oh, okay. I don't get it. I don't get it.
That's
is she Jesus? I don't understand.
It's up to you. It's oh open to interpretation. God. It's fun. That's what I think. It's fun.
I mean, yeah, Chris it's Tucker's fun. Character is great. Yes. It's not like the worst movie. I just don't understand the hype. I'm sorry.
I think it's
I should see
also,
myself
it's
out.
One of those, you are entitled to your opinion and you are validated.
Exactly.
I think it's one of those movies that is like cult following. If you saw it when you were the right age.
Yeah.
Like we've discussed this. I do not like The Princess Bride.
Oh, me either.
All.
Me either.
And it's because I did not watch it at the appropriate... I'll see myself out now.
No, me and you can sit together.
I did not watch it at the right time in my life. And so by the time I saw
every
it...
Every time is the right time for The Princess Bride.
Well, apparently...
Can we just talk about how me and you just got death glared by these two?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't death glare. I didn't even look at you.
Yeah, it's like astonishment.
The look that...
That's like saying I don't like oxygen.
She thought I was going to give when she said she's in like Fifth Element is the one that I did get when I said I don't like The Princess Bride. I do not enjoy that movie. I'm not going to say if it's a good movie or a bad movie. I do not personally enjoy that movie. But I didn't watch it at the right age, I think.
Same.
And so it never became like this nostalgic.
Yeah, that's probably what The Fifth Element is for me. I just.
Yeah. I get it. We all have our own
taste.
That's
all right.
It's okay. The world goes around.
I love variety.
And like, a more adult version of WALL-E is kind of like, that's why I put Interstellar next. Mm.
Yeah. Well, going back to WALL-E, though, can we also talk about how not only is he a trash collector, but then he goes into space to see the societies that are building and everything, and how, like, you were talking about the screen time, but can we also talk about how their expanding waistline continues to grow? Mm-hmm. Like,
well,
I'm like, this is not far-fetched.
Anything. They just have to sit on their chairs and zip around on their little spaceships.
Yeah.
And then they're super comfortable, so then what's the desire, right? Like, that's the... Like, the message there is, like, if you can keep people comfortable and keep them entertained, what's the desire to fix the problem?
Yeah.
Why would we want to go back to Earth? Why would we want to clean it up? Why would we want to care about what's going on around us when we're entertained and comfortable?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I miss when Nickelodeon used to do the Worldwide Day of Play. They wouldn't show any, like, shows.
That.
And they'd encourage you to, like, get outside. And
wait,
go, like,
what?
You'd turn the TV on and it would be like, there's nothing on
TV.
Outside.
On Nickelodeon?
And it would give you a message.
No way. I don't remember this.
Yeah, it's called Worldwide Day of Play. You would be like, oh, I'm gonna turn on Nickelodeon. They'd be like, not today.
And then there was no, like...
How do
oh, look
not
at me.
I
made a TikTok of me being outside on my day of play. Right. There was no social media to, like, go broadcast it.
Yeah. How long was this going on for? Because
I
don't
think
remember
they did
this.
It every year. I don't know when it started. I can look it up on
look
my device.
Look at you
in
your Google.
Look
at you in your Google and your screen time.
Yeah.
I totally remember that.
I don't.
Yep. And it was, like, all week long they'd lead up to it. And it was, like, sponsored. You know, like, the shows would have
people
speaking about it and how important it was for kids to go outside. Actually, like, I even had a conversation with my other daughter this morning. because my six-year-old was outside playing in the front lawn at like 7:30, and then neighbor Liz, Pitbull Liz, she called me and she was like, "Do you know that your kid is outside?" And I was like, "Yep, I do." And she was like, "Okay, I just want," right? She was being a nice friend and making sure that she was safe. And I was like, "Yep, I do. She knows not to wander off." So then my other kid was like, "Mom, she cannot be outside on her own. What if she gets kidnapped?"
And I was like, "How old is she?"
Six.
She's fine.
She was totally fine. But it's like, I try not to helicopter parent.
Yeah.
And so that's like the concept that was like, I couldn't, like, my one kid was like, "You can't ever let her go outside by herself." And I'm like, "She is right by the house. I can see her. She's totally fine." But it's important for kids to go outside and play. And I definitely feel like my 14 and 15 year old are in that generation of like screen kids, and they were, a lot of their formative years were like during COVID when even parks were closed. So we developed some bad habits then.
Well, it started 2004, ended 2009. So Nickelodeon, if you're listening,
bring it back.
Yeah.
Interesting. I love that concept. Just shutting off the TV. Like, we're not going to air anything. That's interesting.
Well, because I think that that's kind of like where we're headed right now, is like, keep people comfortable, keep them informed, like, or entertained, not
Pen
informed. Penn
M at circuses?
Is that's
cool. Callback.
Oh, God.
I like reference that book all the time now. I'm like, well, in the new Hunger Games book, this is what they have to say about that.
Well, you know, it's interesting when you think about our society, because even like doom scrolling on TikTok, like the way we do, our society is so used to that instant kind of like, okay, if it's not under three minutes, like, I'm moving on.
Yeah.
And I'm guilty of that. I will say I am guilty of that. But, you know, picking up a book and reading and like engaging outdoors, activities, hiking. I know, Lindsay, you are a runner. You like your what am I trying to say? Marathons, right? Marathons, that's what you call them? Okay.
That's what I call them. Yep.
Okay. Exercise is dangerous, folks, okay? It's dangerous. Me and Jess had this whole conversation about that. We're just like, I walked to the grocery store today. I'm done. That's my exercise.
Yeah. I'm doing an ultra next Saturday.
Where's that one?
In Wisconsin. By Hayward, kind of.
Oh, okay. 38 Spooner miles. Area, yep.
Are you going to run out to Wisconsin and then
basically
run back?
Okay. We have our, it's 38 miles of trail. So it's going to take me all day, and I just go on a Hobbit adventure.
Okay, you would like the Hobbit adventure.
I do. Just not the running part. Adventure. I'm a big Lord of the Rings fan.
We want to go to New Zealand next year and do the Middle Earth half marathon or marathon, whichever one they offer.
I'm not going to do that, but like, I love that for you.
I will send you videos.
Please
with my
do. You could go to New Zealand and support.
You can make a sign. Will you play like the, you know, when they're like running and it's the Saruman theme song?
Yes.
Will you do that while you're running? So you're like an orc.
The last
like
time we went to Duluth, we were playing the Last of the Mohicans theme song as we hiked through the park. So I am not above playing
perfect,
oh my God, amazing like theme music.
Yeah,
that's how we get into exercising, Mox. We just need to like think of it as we're like in a different world.
You're in a show.
Like we're not just like running. We're, you know.
Okay,
in
but
the
if we're
going to
do
Rings.
That, I want really the Sabrina the Teenage Witch theme song playing, and I pretend like I'm on a broomstick, so I don't have to do physical activity.
That's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So we support that decision.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, perfect.
It's
great.
Like too dark of a topic for us to even like stay on it.
Yeah, we keep like moving away from it.
You know, kind of wrapping up this dystopian kind of world of Earth Day and everything like that. I'm going to ask each of you a question. What is one thing that makes you happy about nature and like the environment? Like, why is it important for you to have that in your life? I know Lindsay's a runner, so obviously you like the outdoors for exercise and stuff. I'm just curious.
Yeah, I was supposed to be born where there's mountains.
Yeah.
But I was born somewhere else, so I just have to travel to them all the time. I am very much wanting to visit all the national parks. I think that being connected to nature and being outside, even if it is surrounded by tourists and people, is something that, like, we live in a really, really beautiful country.
We do.
I'm very nervous about the national parks and things like that right now, but I feel most at peace and humbled and small. Like a lot of the really big, big stressors and big, big problems feel like they kind of go away or feel like they're put in perspective when I go and like separate myself from society a little bit for a couple of days.
Jess?
I did not grow up being an outdoor girly. So that's something that I've been kind of figuring out in my like adult years. So we bought our first house last year. And like we have a backyard. So I'm trying to spend time out there. So that's my outdoor, the extent of my outdoorness. I go for walks with my dog. I'd really like to get into gardening. Mm. And like having like
you a talked about get, putting like raised beds up in your
backyard. We've started building them. My husband just he's likes to start projects and then never finishes them. So if he's listening right now and his whole crew is listening, please help me.
He's a plumber, I think, FYI.
Yeah, so they're probably laughing right now. But
he's a plumber.
He is a plumber. Do you have plumbing needs?
All the time.
It's weird that that always comes up. We'll exchange info later.
I have old house and old house with old pipes. So there's always gonna hate something that. Coming up.
Great. I don't know what the question was. Why do I like the earth? Because I like living. Big fan of that.
Why is Earth Day important?
Is every day. It's not just one day. And I think it's silly that we only celebrate it on one day. But it's good to help us keep our perspective that we're only here for a little bit, but the earth is going to be here for a really long time. And it's our job to be stewards of the earth in whatever way that we can. So I guess if that means recycling, keep it up. Love that.
Reuse.
Reduce, reuse, recycle, baby.
Yep. Ash?
I also was not... Like, I'm not a super big outdoors person. I mean, going to a national park would be, like, insane just, like, from a perspective, like, a different perspective. And I think that's why I enjoy the outdoors and nature so much is that there's so many beautiful parts of the world. And, like, when you think about it, especially in, like, these, like, national parks and stuff, and you, like, overlook, like, a river, and it's, like, how much life is inside of that river that is like sustained by just what's going on in the world. I watched a documentary on like fungus at the Science Museum in Minnesota, and it was beautiful. Like it was just like
a fungus.
It was a fungus documentary about mushrooms, and it was just it was just really really beautiful, and it made me think about like these little pockets of nature that just have so much biodiversity.
Did you watch any of the Planet Earth?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And so that's what I'm thinking of is, like, taking something as small as fungus and making it interesting and beautiful and showing how important it is
like to its life. Entire ecosystem. Yeah, like, it's insane when you, like, think about it. And
that's, like, the whole plot to Star Trek Discovery. If any of you are into Star Trek, it's actually the plot of Star Trek Discovery. Word. I mean, there's side plots about, like, relationships. Fungus?
Curtis, if you're listening, I'm sure that you are thrilled about this reference right now. My ex is, like, super huge Star Wars. Or Star Trek,
I was like, hold on.
I'm a Star Wars. He's Star Trek. Maybe that's why it didn't work out. But...
Probably. That's why Jess and Ryan get along all the time, so well.
He listens, so he's probably very excited about the Star Trek reference.
Yeah.
One day you'll have a sci-fi moment with Ryan on the air, I'm sure.
Oh, please tune in for that. I have so many opinions.
You're always opinionated.
See, and then there's like The Last of Us too, which is
Are you guys watching?
I don't want to talk. Not yet. I know. Not yet.
Yeah, that's fine.
I've all of season one. Yes. The standalone episode with Nick Offerman and the guy from White Lotus is maybe one of the most beautiful pieces of television ever created ever, and I'll never look at strawberries the same way again. They're like strawberries are romantic and sad, and I
heartbreaking
love that.
I cried at like every episode of The Last of Us except for like two episodes.
I need to watch Sunday's it. I haven't.
Oh, it's so good.
I haven't started the second season.
I haven't either.
I do know. I played some of the games. Yeah,
I had to be warned because I have big feelings about everything all the time, so I know. But and I won't say it on air, But it's so the issue is that it airs Sundays at 8. And I do not stay up that late. And I have a little one who that is way too scary for her to even be awake. So I have to wait until she's asleep. And by the time she is up. So I have not gotten there yet. But I know I'm 2 episodes behind.
Yeah. Max, really quickly, what do you love about the Earth?
Well, exercise is dangerous. number 2. I Jess knows this about me, and I think we all in this room know that I grew up on a farm. So, like, having chickens and animals and having the livestock moment is something that is very interesting to me, and I wish I could had time for it, and I wish I could do it, because right now, especially with egg prices, I'm not going to lie, that would be a wonderful thing right now.
When we go live in the woods, when we run away from society,
when we make our compound,
yeah, it's like a compound, but without like the crazy stuff.
Yeah,
we're just gonna be chill.
It's not gonna be a cult.
No, not a cult.
Okay. Nope, for sure. No,
for sure.
Right,
that's a hard pass for me.
I think the other thing that I like about the Earth is I did grow up camping, and I did grow up going to state parks. And I think, like, when I think of the Mississippi headwaters, like, I think of, you know, what's happening and how they want to start drilling in that area and all that stuff, and how they're trying to stop that. And I'm just, you know, it's such a beautiful moment to watch that that place, especially where the vibrancy of the Earth and people can kind of coexist and really enjoy that. I also love the concept where from Pocahontas, where they talk about you never step in the same river twice. Mm-hmm. And you think about how our whole world has, don't look at me like
that.
I love
that. It's beautiful.
You know, like, I think about that concept. I'm like, okay, so I'm going to be 35. How many other people in the history of the world have stepped foot in there? And like,
did a dinosaur drink the glass of water you're drinking? Science is saying, so cool. Probably.
No way, going down the dinosaur road, Lindsay.
I love dinosaurs.
I know you do. If there was ever Jurassic Park, actual park, Lindsay would be first in line.
You should not go there. I can't stress this enough. That's a terrible idea.
So anyway, put on your high heels.
My high heels, like Bryce Dallas Howard, and I run away from those dinosaurs. I'd sign up to go so hard.
You have the stamina. You would be able to run. I know you would.
Not my heels.
Yes, you could. So that's what I think about the Earth. I think the Earth is a beautiful thing. I think we do need to take care of it. I will say we all have faults, and we all end up misstepping. But the next point to that is, how do we get better at preserving this space for tomorrow?
So,
with that being said, yeah, snap, slay,
slay,
slay count. So that brings us to the next segment. We have our wonderful friend Rich here to talk.
Hi, everybody. How you doing?
It's morning.
Okay. Yeah. You sound like you're having fun. I feel like I just like walked in and just like, yeah, I'm the teacher. Everyone's got to shut up now. And
literally what I was thinking in my head. I'm like, yeah, the principal's here. Exactly. We got to behave now.
Exactly.
No, we're doing good.
Well, I've been listening this whole time. So like, I know.
Are we all fired yet?
I know what you've been. Not even.
Because I could use a vacation.
In fact, Jess, you've been a wonderful addition to the show today. And we haven't actually met. Hi, my name's Rich.
I'm Jessica.
Nice to meet you, Jessica. I hope that you are going to be a more of a fixture on this show. Because,
yeah, 24/7, actually.
Well, fantastic.
So I've just moved into someone else's office.
Fantastic. Yeah. All right. One of the things that I don't think we've made clear enough about Spill the Beans is that Cannon Valley 10 Movie Theater is a sponsor of Spill the Beans, right?
Yep, so all good movies. All good movies.
I want to go through real quick with what's playing this weekend at Cannon Valley 10 and then give you the magic word to email me to win 4 movie passes to the movie of your choice at Cannon Valley 10. All right, so here we go. They're bringing Star Wars back again.
Yeah.
Star Wars Episode 3 is...
Jess.
I got my tickets for Saturday already.
Do you really?
Yep.
I think I'm going to go tomorrow.
You're watching Ferngully. You're busy.
I might go. I don't know.
So we have at least one eye roll about Star Wars altogether.
Yeah, but I love a local theater.
Yeah, well, so, who doesn't love a local theater?
And popcorn.
But we're not talking about that. We're talking about Star Wars, which is like everything my childhood has been built
Star
on.
Star Wars is fun.
Okay, so part three. This is Revenge of the Sith. It's the 20th anniversary re-release, part three of the Star Wars prequel trilogy, concluding the story of how Anakin Skywalker becomes Darth Vader. Suggests like this is the one time she's going to be on then, right? Is that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
Okay.
You brought up Star Wars and she's done.
Yeah. All right.
No.
Yeah. All right. Also opening this week is The Accountant 2. Anybody ever see the first one?
No.
No, but I've been hearing a lot of rave about this, the sequel.
Annie and I saw the first one when it was in the theaters and I hated it.
Is it about an actual accountant?
No. No, it's okay. Ben Affleck, check this out. I mean, it was a bad premise, and I'm sure they're doing better things with it, but it's...
Allegedly.
It's a sequel to this 2016 movie where Ben Affleck plays an assassin who has autism.
Okay.
Yeah. It was not the greatest movie. But I hear good things about this one, too. It's also co-starring Jon Bernthal, who is fun to watch if you like action movies. Until Dawn, which looks really...
That one looks freaky.
Isn't that a zombie movie?
A group of friends trapped in a time loop where mysterious foes are chasing and killing them in gruesome ways must survive until dawn to escape it. I didn't recognize a single one of the actors who was.
I saw the trailer.
In a video
that's kind of fun though.
Yeah. Do you like scary movies?
Oh, I love a zombie movie.
Okay, zombies make me sad. Because 1 minute I'm sitting next to Lindsay and she's my really good friend, and the next second she wants to eat my brain.
Yeah, you got to do what you got to do. That.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I get exactly. It. Right.
All
right.
I also love a zombie movie.
Okay. Sinners with Michael B. Jordan, who plays two roles in this movie. I had barely paid attention to this. My son-in-law, who is a great critic of movies, called me the other day to tell me that he thought I would really like this.
I heard it's really good.
Okay. Trying to leave their troubled lives behind, twin brothers return to their hometown to start again, only to discover that an even greater evil is waiting to welcome them back. And I know it's a very scary movie. That's really all I know about it. Sneaks, which is an animated movie with the voices of Anthony Mackie and Lawrence Fishburne. When a designer sneaker unwittingly finds himself... I'm sure that means a sneaker designer, not a designer sneaker, but we'll go with it. Unwittingly finds himself lost in New York City. He must dig deep into it. Oh, it is a designer sneaker. He must dig deep into his, ready for it?
Soul.
Yeah. Oh, in order to rescue his sister and return to his rightful owner. All right. Drop. A widowed mother's first date in years. Takes a terrifying turn when she's bombarded with anonymous threatening messages on her phone during their upscale dinner, leaving her questioning if her charming date is behind the harassment. That movie looks absolutely terrifying, and I don't want to watch it. The Amateur with Rami Malek and Lawrence Fishburne. I saw this movie. When his supervisors at the CIA refuse to take action after his wife is killed in a London terrorist attack, a decoder takes matters into his own hands. Rami Malek, Lawrence, it's a good movie. Very good movie, actually. The King of Kings, another animated film. Pierce Brosnan, Oscar Isaac, and Kenneth Branagh. Through a father's vivid storytelling, a boy journeys through Jesus' life from humble beginnings to ultimate sacrifice. Along the way, he discovers the transformative power of faith. Warfare. Which is a platoon of Navy SEALs embark on a dangerous mission in Ramadi, Iraq, with the chaos and brotherhood of war retold through the memories of the event. This was actually written by a guy who was an Iraq veteran and basically wrote the script based on his memories of a battle.
My oldest son saw this movie and caution to be exercised when you go see this movie, but he said it is absolutely unlike anything he's ever seen. It was like life-changing and amazing. Wow. In terms of how good it is done.
So like the PTSD thing you might want to... Yeah. Okay. And then a Minecraft movie starring the people, Jason Momoa and Jack Black.
And Jennifer Coolidge.
Slay. Who I think is one of, you know...
My favorite.
One of the most underrated people of all time.
Like, literally the best actress alive.
Yeah.
The gays are trying to kill me.
The gays are trying to kill me.
White Lotus.
That's my favorite line.
Yes. Jennifer Coolidge is what, the official actress of Spill the Beans? Is that what you're telling
yes.
me?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Oh, how do we get her here?
Yeah. Oh, God.
Okay, thank you.
We can arrange that.
Thank you.
We can arrange Please. That. Absolutely.
Please. Can I dress like her, though? Can there be two Jennifer
you
Coolidges?
You get to do whatever you want.
Okay, sounds good. All That's right. all I need to know.
All right. Four misfits are suddenly pulled through a mysterious portal into a bizarre cubic wonderland that thrives on imagination. To get back home, they'll have to master this world while embarking on a quest with an unexpected expert crafter. That's a Minecraft movie, which I guess is like phenomenal. If you ever played Minecraft, it's like the movie.
It's supposed to be
you.
Really good.
Yeah, I've heard of that as well. Yeah.
If you have any want to get more information, visit cabtheaters.com. And if you would like to go see a movie, if you'd like four free movie passes to any film at Cannon Valley 10, please email me at studio@kymnradio.net.